5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Wendy Bell. Inspiring solutions to save America.
One show at a time.
Are you ready to get on board?
They believe that they can destroy this bond that exists between you and Trump if they somehow make Trump look bad, make Trump look like a reprobate, embarrass you about Trump. They can't do it because you came before Trump. Desperately want Trump gone, and I know that they desperately want it codified that Trump cannot run again, because make no mistake, they remain scared to death of you, and they remain scared to death of Trump. Trump, 75 million, 80 million votes. And I'm going to tell you, you're not going anywhere. Even if Trump does, you're not. Which I think remains one of our big campaign strengths going forward. They can't separate you from Trump. And more importantly, they can't separate you from the ideas. They can't separate you from MAGA. They can't separate you from Make America Great Again.
From sea to shining sea,
3 hours of bold truth and excellence.
The Wendy Bell Radio Program.
Welcome back, my friends, to the Wendy Bell Radio Program. As always, it's such an honor to be with you to tell the truth from a mom, a common sense conservative perspective. And I think it's just going to make sense to you. This isn't controversial. We tell you where to get all the information we share with you. We encourage you to double check us. We encourage you to tell me if I'm lying, because it's my pledge. I will not lie to you. Not debatable. Not up for grabs. Period. And I had to create my own radio network in order to make that and keep that promise. One of the biggest stories, I think, today comes from The Federalist. Exclusive. Pennsylvania lawmakers appealed to Supreme Court in case challenging Biden bucks. I looked at this headline. I'm like, wait, what? I'm familiar with the Zucker bucks. Mark Zuckerberg spending $400 million and putting ballot drop boxes to promote fraud. That's not election integrity. That's called fraud in predominantly black zip codes. Fraud. So what's this? I want to read you the whole daggone thing, friends, because it is, I think, probably the story of the day. President Joe Biden is using the federal government to tread on the authority of the legislative branch. This is according to an appeal filed today with the U.S. Supreme Court. The petition, exclusively obtained by The Federalist, argues that Biden's Executive Order 14019, which commands federal agencies to orchestrate an unprecedented national get-out-the-vote effort, violates the Constitution. Should they be able to use taxpayer money to get people to vote Democrat? No! No. And your stupid executive order shouldn't change that, Joe. Quote, the executive action taken by the president nullifies the votes of the individual legislators. It nullifies the enactment of the legislature. It violates the Elector's Clause, violates the Elections Clause, deprives the legislators of their particular rights, and jeopardizes candidates' rights to the election, to an election free from fraud and abuse, states the request for the High Court's review filed by 27 Pennsylvania state lawmakers. Good for you, land before time. Good for you. But the plaintiffs aren't asking the Supreme Court to weigh in on the merits of the case. They're after the critical question of standing, whether individual lawmakers have the right to take such claims of federal executive branch incursions on legislative duty to court. Look, we operate in a system where there's a separation of power, right? We have three branches of government. One doesn't rule the other. They're supposed to be co-equal. They have individual jobs to do. One can't trample the other. Except that's what's going on. Earlier this month, The legislators appealed the case to the U.S. Third Circuit Court of Appeals after a lower court dismissed the lawsuit for a lack of standing. This is interesting. The lawmakers say time is of the essence, and they're seeking expedited consideration from the Supreme Court in a request to bypass the usual appeals process. Look, don't gum us down in the works here, right? We don't have 2 years to legislate this or to litigate this. Please, Supreme Court, hear us. These lawmakers are optimistic that a majority of the justices will find in their favor and that the lawsuit will go back to the lower court to rule on the merits. They're very confident, too, they will ultimately win an injunction stopping state and federal overreach in Pennsylvania elections. Stay the hell out of our affairs. We've got 50 states. The states rule themselves. That's how the elections work. Without interference from the federal government. Unless the federal government realizes it sucks because 42% of black female voters say they're up for grabs. Oh, hell. What are we gonna do? Let's fiddle with this. Government watchdogs have described this Pennsylvania State Freedom Caucus lawsuit as, quote, the most important election integrity lawsuit in the country. The outcome could ultimately determine political control in 2025. Biden's fiat directs federal departments and agencies to partner, quote unquote, with state, local, tribal, and territorial election officials on voter registration and other get out the vote initiatives. Critics of the federalized get out the vote drive call it Biden bucks. Of course, a nod to Zuckerbucks. The hundreds of millions of dollars in private donations Facebook founder Mark Zuckerberg dropped on local election offices during the 2020 election. Biden claims his order is all about promoting the, quote, exercise of the right to vote and eliminating discrimination and other barriers to voting. What kind of barriers? Are you an American citizen? Can you prove it? Are you 18? Here, vote. I'm sorry. What are the obstacles? Such lofty sounding goals, however, get lost in the implementation of the plan, which appears to be created to target traditionally Democrat voters with the assistance of White House approved leftist groups. In January, 27 Republican state lawmakers, 26 members of the state House of Representatives in Pennsylvania, and one Pennsylvania senator filed a federal lawsuit against Joe Biden and Pennsylvania Democrat Governor Josh Shapiro, Secretary of the Commonwealth Al Schmidt, and Jonathan Marks, Deputy Secretary for State Elections and Commissions. The Elections Research Institute, a nonpartisan nonprofit working to restore confidence in the election system, is sponsoring the case. The lawsuit also names seven Biden cabinet members, including Secretary of State Anthony Blinken, Health and Human Services Secretary Xavier Becerra, and Education Secretary Miguel Cardona. All of these agencies and many more are in on the scheme. Why do you think the Education Secretary would be named? Because they're trying to get kids, 16 and 17 year olds. Do you see what they're trying to do? A political party in power is using taxpayer dollars to go out and influence groups using leftists, influence people to register to vote Democrat. You're not allowed to do that. The lawmakers say Biden has infringed on their constitutional rights and responsibilities to operate elections without federal and state executive branch meddling. All agency action is in conformity with his executive order, is without congressional delegation or funding, and conducted merely by executive fiat. Look, just because I wave a magic wand doesn't make it so, even if I'm sitting in the Oval Office. These people think they are above the law. They are above the rules. They are above standard operating procedure, that they can do whatever the Sam Hill they want. Biden's order, the lawsuit alleges, has the force of changing Pennsylvania election law, which usurps the state legislature's powers and violates the state legislature's federal civil rights under the Elector's Clause and the Elections Clause. The latter grants state legislatures the authority to prescribe the times and places and manner of holding elections for senators and representatives. The former gives each state the power to appoint, in such manner as the legislature thereof may direct, a number of electors to vote for president. That number is based on each state's two U.S. senators and its total U.S. House members. They want to change how electors are selected before this election. And it goes beyond Zuckbucks. Did you guys know that in Pennsylvania, there have been $22 million in so-called COVID-19 response grants filtered from Facebook, from Mark Zuckerberg, to these leftist voter rights nonprofits? And the whole goal is to skew how many people register to vote and are encouraged and compensated to vote in a specific manner. Now, before the consequences become catastrophic, I want to go back to something that Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas said. Changing the rules in the middle of the game is bad enough. And that's exactly what happened in Pennsylvania in 2020. They decided that they didn't need to have a date on the backs of these mail-in ballots, that they didn't have to do signature validation. That a treasure trove of 100,000 ballots that are discovered somewhere can be counted. Is that why Donald Trump lost his 600,000 vote lead and lost to Joe Biden by 80,555 votes? Changing the rules in the middle of the game is bad enough. Such rule changes by officials who may lack authority to do so is even worse, Justice Thomas wrote, commenting on the alterations the state Supreme Court made shortly before the 2020 presidential election to the laws passed by the legislature. When those changes alter election results, they can severely damage the electoral system on which our government is so heavily dependent. He just said that they fiddled with the election results in the state of Pennsylvania. And very quietly, using emergency orders, Joe Biden and whomever is the puppeteer plan to meddle again. Wake up, Supreme Court. Hear the case. Because everything could depend on this. Quick timeout. When we're back on the Wendy Bell Radio program, let's talk about this. Innocent people don't often take plea deals, do they? No, they don't. The Arizona rancher, good news for him. I got it for you next. You know, I brought you at the beginning of the show this vote, this poll, right? 26% of voters polled said they believe Donald Trump will be convicted of something in this Alvin Bragg case. 26%, so 1 in 4. Evidence, corroboration, proof, a timeline, forensics, data, anything, right? Isn't that what we have come to rely on in any case where there are two sides, right? When I watch my kids argue, and it doesn't happen a lot, we've grown up beyond a lot of the petty garbage. My twins will still take nips at each other. And if I can hear what they're talking about and I hear what they're saying and I ask for granular data, really? What kind of proof do you have that your brother did this or that? See, we don't just fling innuendo here and accusations. You got to come with the tools. Give me the proof and we'll make a decision. Don't you think that your government should have to prove that? Don't you think that the system of justice should have to have evidence? Ironclad evidence, not just this feeling. Because this Arizona rancher story, got a 75-year-old dude, right? He's owned his land there for years. It's he and his wife and his guns. And he's on the border. And people have crossed his land for years now. And he's tired of finding their freaking bodies. Not to mention, he's still a man. And he has to protect his home and he has to protect his woman. And so when he saw three people about 100 yards away, which, by the way, is pretty freaking close, walking across his property, He says he took his gun, fired 9 shots up into the air to scare them away. Except he got nailed with a murder charge. A murder charge? Apparently, one of the guys who was walking across his land had been shot and died on his property. And absent the shell, the bullet that killed the guy, this rancher got ensnared in some garbage allegation of a white guy deciding to, I'm going to shoot you. Boom. Guilty. Well, that's not really how we do things in this country. Well, it has been lately. Just look at all the January 6th defendants. You want to tell me that seditious conspiracy, which is something that has been freaking concocted and tagged onto all of their charges to drown them in a quagmire of litigious suck, is lawful? No, it's punitive. You like Donald Trump? Prepare to go to prison. This guy, right? Rancher guy, get off my property. I'm not bothering you. Finds himself in court. Well, here's your headline from the Associated Press. Prosecutors say they will not retry this Arizona rancher accused of murder near the U.S.-Mexico border. It was a hung jury. They couldn't come to the conclusion because, I don't know, I guess there's still some people out there who believe in proof. And they didn't have it. And did you know the prosecutors in the case tried to offer this guy, the rancher, a plea deal? Well, if you plead to a lesser charge of, criminally negligent homicide or whatever, we'll go easy on you. Well, it'll only be 10 years in prison. Do you know what honest people say when they haven't done anything wrong? Screw you! Suck it! No. No deal. I didn't do anything. You guys are trying to create a narrative. This white nationalist narrative. I'm going to shoot you, brown people. Get off my lawn. This gives me at least a scintilla, a skosh of hope that while 1 in 4 of us believes Donald Trump will be found guilty of something criminal, in a case that has less evidence than the rancher whose dead body on his property, there's no bullet for. A little bit less evidence than that. Can you get justice? Can you be treated fairly? Is that a figment of our past? Because when we say every morning together with your hand on your heart, with liberty and justice for all. It says all for a reason, not just for some. 42% of black female voters, ladies and gentlemen. When we come back, so Columbia University begins suspending students. Is that enough? Hell no. We'll take you to the madness next on the Wendy Bell Radio Network. So it's really a tale of two states, a tale of two cities. One in New York, Columbia University. One in Texas, Austin, Texas. Different strategies, different ways of handling protests. And I think that the juxtaposition is truly astounding. Headline, Washington Post, Columbia begins suspending students who refuse to leave encampment. Friends, just looking at that headline, that train has left the depot. Like a slap on the wrist, please promise that you won't do it again. You've already booted everybody to Zoom education throughout the rest of the year, which is probably only another week or two. At the most, graduation's right around the corner. I'm going to one. My son, I get it. How is a suspension really going to move the needle of discipline? It's a suck reaction by a suck president who started strong. The woman who's in charge at Columbia University said, hey, cops, NYPD, come on, we need help. And that made the protesters angry. And then she said, oh, well, I'm sorry. I don't want to make you angry. Can you pretty please leave? And last night they decided to break into a hall, break windows, and hold somebody pretty much hostage. That's not a protest. That's an insurrection. Right? Where are all the federal authorities swarming this place? Columbia begins suspending students who refuse to leave encampment. This is bad parenting. This is what you get when you suck as a parent. And you know what? There are a lot of sucky parents. I've been a sucky parent till you see the result and you're like, snap. This is the product of me. How about this story? Columbia University hours ago began suspending students who refused to leave a pro-Palestinian encampment after negotiations with protesters failed. Do you want to know what the negotiation is? Here's some pepper spray. Open up. Psht. How about that? I mean, is that just too fussy? Is that a little too strict? Does that feel a little harsh? I don't think so. Get the hell off my campus. Stop terrorizing Jewish students. Stop defending a terrorist organization that believes in hosing down young people at a freaking music festival with automatic weapons. Who rape women and behead children. This is who you're protesting on behalf of. I have zero tolerance. You and all your loser friends, pack your crap up, grab your Soros cash, and get out of here. Because what's coming next is my baton, and I will use it.
I think they should just play Donald Trump's speeches blaring. And in between Donald Trump's speeches, why not patriotic music? No. God bless the USA.
Again, on continuous loop.
Over and continuous loop.
Or they should just play my show.
That's
actually
torture.
That would be educational. So Columbia University faculty, administrators, they're negotiating with these students. You don't negotiate with terrorists. You do not acquiesce to the request of sniveling brats who haven't contributed a lick to our society. Pack your bags, go get a job, and find out what FICA is. And maybe you won't be out here wasting our time. The university said that nearly 2-week-long protest violated university policies, created an unwelcoming environment for Jewish students. Do you think that we've passed unwelcoming environment? Because now we're talking about people who feel terrorized. People who are afraid to walk around on a college campus for which they spend, what, $60,000 for the privilege to feel like caged animals? What? Now, we're going to juxtapose this. Protesters, I will just say this. Protesters responded with defiance, encircling the encampment and chanting anti-Israel slogans, including, it is a right to rebel. Israel can go to hell and no more money for Israel's crimes. By Monday afternoon, dozens of students were still in the encampment, including the ne'er-do-well Kamani James, who said he wanted to kill Zionists. Actually, I really didn't say that. The only reason you're getting mad at me for saying that is because I'm queer and I'm black. That's what he said. Do you guys see and feel and taste crazy? Because that's what it looks like. You do not negotiate with your kids. How many of you have friends, right? And it's hard enough for couples to like each other because you could like the dad, but not the mom, vice versa. You like both of them, but their kids suck. It is what it is. It's the dance. How many of you have watched friends of yours or even maybe even you who've negotiated with their kids? Look, if you just eat that, then I'll make sure you... No. Eat the damn broccoli. It's a little tree. Eat it now, right? Or go to your room and go to bed. I don't care, one way or another. You don't win. These are people who didn't have to eat their broccoli, and they got double servings of ice cream. The juxtaposition I alluded to at the beginning of this segment, comes to you from Texas, where people at the University of Texas Austin are like, get out, done, done. Headline, Gateway Pundit, and this is an enjoyable story to read, so if I laugh, you should too. Hope for America, that's the headline. Hope for America. Texas cops go to work in Austin. Dirty, booger-haired leftists scooped up, zip-tied, and hauled off like baby calves at the UT campus. And it's true. There's pictures, still pictures, and video of cops hog-tying and zip-tying behind their back, which has got to be very uncomfortable, and dragging people out and basically tossing them to the street. Get out of here. Right? Beautiful. Make America Texas again, as the story goes. Austin police yesterday taking down the impromptu pro-Hamas hippie encampment at the University of Texas campus this afternoon, it says. There was a lot of screaming by the dirty leftists. Booger-haired girl got carried off by no-nonsense police. And the video is outstanding, but there's so much swearing, it's not worth us showing it to you. But this is the funny thing. You have cops who are ticked off. They're done. They're hot. They're sweaty. They're annoyed. There's actual stuff going on in the world that's serious. These people are a joke. Get out of here. Then you've got the woman who's got a mask on, who's going, you're hurting me. I can't breathe, right? And then there's two other people who are trying to take her name down, like they're de facto journalists. Who are you? I want to be able to write about this. Dirty Hippie Airlines is what the title is on this one tweet. You fly for free at Taliban day camp. We even deliver, LMAO. Not having it. Get out. She's not as talkative, apparently, the woman who was being hauled out, as she was earlier. Here she is, assaulting a police officer who had nothing to do with it, threw her down to the ground, zip-tied her, hauled her out like a baby calf. Just at a rodeo, I just lassoed your legs. Bye-bye. Then they unleashed the pepper spray. And I'm talking, this is like a hose, ladies and gentlemen. It's not like a squirt. It's not like a... This is a... And the video of this one guy getting smacked in the face and being like... Ugh. And then he's like, ah! As all these people with little water bottles come, open your eyes, we'll flush them out. Pal.
Here's your sign.
Disperse. Get out of here. We warned you. The video is worth its weight in gold. Go out there. Go to the Gateway Pundit. And then you've got people... And this is for the optics. They have medics, right, who look like students who called crowdsondemand.com or they answered an ad for you know, official EMT looking like personnel to talk about, oh, the woes of the protesters who were sitting there. They're on a hunger strike. Good. Don't eat. Lose some weight. Beat it. And these medics are taking out a woman who can't. Oh, she's so feeble. She needs to be dragged out. Oh, I'm so exhausted standing here in the heat. And she's wearing a mask. I'm going to say, if I'm having a hard time, first thing that comes off is that mask. Not when you're a leftist and you're working on the optics. But it's the faculty members at Columbia. And I listened to some of their sound. I was going to share it with you today. And you know what it sounds like. It sounds like these protesters in 30 years. That's who these people are. These are the people who are teaching students not how to be great, not how to find their inner magic, not how to be extraordinary, how to tap into something that makes them want to wake up every single day and go to work and provide something to the United States of America that only they can deliver? No. They're teaching them how to be angry, how to make excuses, how to be victims, how to check boxes, how to pretend that they have been injured in some capacity. It stops when adults act like adults and they lay down the freaking law. We are a nation of laws. And in 3.5 years, they have been broken over and over and over again. The barbed wire fence, the buoys in the Rio Grande, taken down by executive order, effectively, and then okayed by the Supreme Court. Kind of disturbing messages we're receiving in this country. Come on in. We have a process, just not for you. We'll send you wherever you want to go. Very confusing, don't you think? Good for the University of Texas. Is it any wonder now that people want to move away from their blue cities and their blue states? They want order. They want law. They want rules. Because that's how a civil society survives. When we come back on the Wendy Bell Radio program, a huge majority of people polled have a very specific take on this campus violence. What they say about protesters calling for violence against Jews. There's no line here. There's no squabbling. Next on the Wendy Bell Radio Network. You know, you don't suspend students. You freaking expel them. Look, the same geo-tracking, geo-locating nonsense that they used to spy on or to get information on all of the people who were anywhere near the Capitol on January 6, 2021, that they shared with the federal government. The banks did it. The cell phone companies, right? Social media platforms. Easy to identify every single player who's creating a disruptive and dangerous terrorist-supporting situation on college campuses. You are expelled. Goodbye. We don't want you. We don't want your name associated with our school. And the faculty, by the way, at Columbia that have formed a human chain to stop the removal of protesters, you're fired. Fired. Pack your crap up and get out. That's how you handle people who suck. We have rules, we have laws, you're breaking them. See you later. We've warned you. You've not heard the warning. Done. Well, this is very interesting. A huge majority of those polled say students and professors who call for violence against Jews should be punished. Isn't that amazing? 80%. Well, no duh. I don't want to live in a country where norms of decency, of safety, are blurred. Where we're supposed to accept this new normal. Because it's not normal. And we reject that. Breitbart.com poll, 80% say students, professors who call for violence toward Jews should be suspended. I say you should go farther than that. No tolerance! Why is it okay to hate Jews, but you can't hate black people or Hispanic people or gay people or trans people? Jews, you can kick. That's okay. Look, shh, just do it quietly. It's called zero tolerance. A new Harvard-Harris poll, and we're going to be digging into it in the next hour, so do not go anywhere. A new Harvard-Harris poll shows 80% of registered voters in the U.S., believe that students and professors who call for violence towards Jews should be suspended. This is 1,961 registered voters conducted earlier this month, 24th and 25th of April. As campuses across the nation are besieged by pro-Palestinian protests and, quote, encampments calling for Israel to be abolished and for Intifada, which refers to a campaign of terror against Israelis, some of the participants in the protest openly support Hamas, have called for more Israeli soldiers to be killed. Because that's okay. Got it. When asked about students and professors who actually engage in physical violence, such as assaulting journalists, which took place last week at a UCLA encampment. 83% of those polled say participants should be suspended. Why is it suspended? Eliminated. Carved out of the campus. Bye-bye. Other poll results on the ongoing war between Israel and Hamas terrorists in Gaza remain consistent with previous results. 80% of respondents back Israel. 80%. Now, just by looking at the optics of these very oddly similar looking protests on college campuses across the country, you would think that there is an overwhelming anti-Jewish, anti-Israel sentiment. That's not the case. 80% support Israel. 80%. It should be so much more than that. Because a vote against Israel is a vote for Hamas to glide in and to hunt people down. They flushed young people who were at a concert into the brush to hide and shot them dead. They shot at a bathroom situation. Shoot people dead. They took a young woman, killed her, I'm sure after raping her multiple times, threw her body in the back of a pickup truck, and paraded it through the streets of Gaza. And the Palestinians came out and cheered for it because they are pro-Hamas. And that young woman, I don't know if they ever found her body, but they did find her head. Is 80% enough? Is 80% enough? Don't go anywhere, because we are going to dig into this new poll. And some of the results of it are eye-opening, because a majority of American voters happen to still love America and want what's best for her. So you're not alone. We'll go there next. Hour 3 of the Wendy Bell Radio Program.